Listen up, New River Valley. It's time for live, local sports talk with one of your very own. Dial 639-4900 or toll free 888-639-4900 and share your thoughts and opinions. Live from the Super Sports Studios in Radford, you're in the clubhouse. Here's your host, Kyle Bailey.
Welcome, welcome into the clubhouse. Kyle Bailey, Danny Notes, Chris Barnhart. It's Monday. It's raining. It's raining dollar bills for Justin Fuente, who was introduced as Virginia Tech's new head football coach just this morning in the Merriman Athletic Building. And what a morning it was if you're a Virginia Tech football fan. What a weekend it was if you're a Virginia Tech football fan. Going back to Saturday, you beat your in-state rival 12th consecutive time, an even dozen over the Hoos, 23-20. A furious finish to that one. Joey Sly with a game-winning field goal. Beamer gets his wind, his send-off. Both streaks are intact, the bowl streak and the UVA streak. It's unfortunately broken during the game by some guy up in D.C. What we'd been telling you all along is that Justin Fuente was going to be the head coach. So you had that. You got the win. You got the new young hot head coach. You got Bud Foster, beloved defensive coordinator, staying on with the staff. He's going to move forward with things here in Blacksburg and in Southwest Virginia. You get that. A big, by the way, basketball gets a win over a last year's Sweet 16 team in UAB. Press conference this morning. It was a whirlwind day. And we've got wall-to-wall coverage, and we'll be with you. We'll be here with you for the next 2 hours. Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll talk to Jeff Calkins, who is a columnist at the Commercial Appeal in Memphis. He's covered Justin Fuente and his previous 4 years as the head coach of the Memphis Tigers. Jeff is also a radio host down there at 92.9. He's got some incredible insight and background information on Justin Fuente that he wants to share with us coming up at 4:35. So we'll talk to Jeff Calkins. At 5:05, we chat with Chip Patterson of CBSSports.com's Eye on College Football. His thoughts on the Fuente hiring, his thoughts on Mike London technically resigning, but we all understand the circumstances under which Mike London exited Charlottesville over the weekend, or at least exited the program. We'll talk about that. The Georgia opening, Mark Richt finished at Georgia. What a guy, what a coach, but Bulldogs fans, the Bulldogs administration, Mr. McGarity in particular, they want to move on, so let's let them do it, and we'll talk about how that impacts the rest of the college football world. And of course, at 5:35, it's Monday, we'll talk to the voice of the Hokies, John Lazor, and he'll look back on the weekend that was, as well as the Justin Fuente press conference festivities this morning. And that's what they were, Danny. I mean, they were big-time festivities. We were there in that big players' lounge. They had the press conference set up. Justin Fuente was there. Whit Babcock was there. University President Timothy Sands was there. The first family of Tech football, Frank and Cheryl Beamer, were there, as was Bud Foster and his wife. You had a couple of coaches that we expect will be retained on the defensive side. Charlie Wiles and Torian Gray were there. Players, supporters, boosters, media. It was a packed house, and I'll just say it, first-class event.
It was really cool. It was really cool to be a part of, honestly. I mean, we sit here on this radio show when we're media members first, but we're also Virginia Tech alumni, and this is just a really exciting time to be involved with this school because Justin Fuente brings just a refreshing vibe to Blacksburg, but also one that very closely, from what we've learned about him so far, closely resembles Coach Beamer. He seems to have a lot of the hometown, homegrown values. He's not a guy that you're going to get a great quote from. He's low key, but it was really I thought he handled himself really well for all the excitement that he's being put through right now with going through Coach Beamer's retirement, his new hire, moving his family, all the questions. I think it's just been a really good job done by Coach Fuente, Whit Babcock, and Dr. Sands.
Oh, to borrow a line from David Teal, he acquitted himself quite nicely this morning. He didn't just handle himself well. He commanded the room. And I'm gonna tread very lightly here and say this. I watched a guy this morning who is not flashy, who is not the used car salesman type, who doesn't have a lot of look at me in him, despite the kind of offense that he runs might suggest that could be a possibility. He's a former quarterback, but he's a very salt of the earth, giving all, and by all accounts, an extremely humble and modest guy, but he's extremely confident, and he is extraordinarily commanding in his presence. Sound like anybody we've talked about before? Sounds a lot like Frank Beamer. That's why I said I'm going to tread lightly here, because to make any sort of comparison to the winningest active head coach in college football and an A-plus human being, you got to be very careful there. But you understand in talking to him. And, you know, we got to ask him some questions during the press conference, but then we also, about 12 to 15 of us, got to break out with Justin Fuente for about 15 to 20 minutes and sit with him privately and talk to him and ask him some questions. That's the kind of feel you get. And I thought Paul Woody from the Richmond Times-Dispatch kind of nailed this in writing about it. He said, you know, Justin Fuente, wants to be in a major conference but does not seem interested in the glamour and the limelight of the big time. He said any coach can recognize the potential of Virginia Tech football. Not every coach would see living in the mountains of Southwest Virginia as appealing. Some might see it as a more necessary evil in order to coach a program with all Virginia Tech offers. That's it. Okay. This is a guy who not only wants to coach big time college football, who not only wants to work with the kind of resources and branding that Virginia Tech football offers, thanks to Frank Beamer. He wants to be in Southwest Virginia. And I think just from across the board, it, on paper at the moment, is a perfect fit. It's a perfect fit culturally for the job, for the university, for the area. It's a perfect marriage on paper between Justin Fuente's offense and Bud Foster's defense. There is a lot to look forward to right now, and Whit Babcock just crushed this. He has hit two home runs now between Buzz Williams and Justin Fuente, and I don't know if Buzz Williams will win an ACC championship. I don't know if Buzz Williams will win a national championship. I don't know any of those things. Same thing goes for Justin Fuente. I don't know what their actual performances will be on the field and what those results will look like. But in terms of how he went about doing it, the names that he acquired, and the efficiency with which he did it, and especially this hire with Justin Fuente, reeling in maybe the hottest head coaching name in the country before all of the serious dominoes begin to fall. And as of right now, in the early running, Whit Babcock has out-hired USC West. He has out-hired, at least to this point, USC East. He's crushing it. I mean, he's just destroyed this hire and is the envy of a lot of fan bases around the country right now. Now, again, there's a lot that has to be figured out on the field. And they ultimately have to win football games and get back to ACC championships. But 6 years, $20.45 million for a guy who had just about every offer you could conceive across the country right now. And to get it done this quickly, this easily, with a guy who seems like a perfect cultural fit, at least in the first 24 hours, you can't nitpick this hire. It's perfect.
I can't remember who said it as we were breaking off with Coach Fuente to go talk to him separately in the press room, but someone goes, or to Whit, he actually said this to Whit, Whit, you're 2 for 2 with two home runs now, right? And I was just like, yeah, that's perfect. And really what stood out to me in both Whit Babcock and Coach Fuente alluded to this was that Coach Fuente didn't have any other interest in a job other than Virginia Tech. And it just, going back to all the stuff that you could do with this program and how Coach Beamer built it on the values that he did, just it didn't seem like, and what Coach Fuente was saying, he just wasn't interested in going anywhere else, and it just seemed like this was the place he wanted to be all along, and that surprised me a little bit when you got openings as big as ones like USC West and USC East and Miami, Georgia coming open. So the fact that this was the only program that seriously garnered his attention says something to me.
Well, it does, and that's why I harp on it all the time, that coaching searches are so much more about fit. And you can't just go out and hire the hottest head coach with the most wins, who's generated the most buzz. You can't do that. And so when I talked about Justin Fuente probably as recently as a couple of weeks ago or as far back as a couple of months ago, when it became evident that Virginia Tech would probably be hiring a new head coach at season's end, we didn't know enough about Justin Fuente to know that he would be a good fit in Blacksburg. You listen to the guy talk for 5 minutes, you know it. You get it. And he's asking Whit Babcock about it, you know, wearing cowboy boots in Southwest Virginia, where the best spots to go fish on the New River are. That's the kind of guy this dude is. And he's culturally a perfect fit. As a matter of fact, I asked him about that this morning. I asked him, I said, you know, why, if you were offered or approached about a dozen jobs, good jobs, was this the only one that you only considered? You know, was it culture? Was it leadership? What was it? And this is what he had to say.
Well, I think the first thing is Whit and his leadership. Just in the same ways that he checked around on me, I called around on him, and you know, it was a fantastic review of of a guy that you truly want to work for. Obviously, the tradition, this is big-time college football, and we all want our shot at coaching at the highest level. I feel like this is obviously a program that's had tremendous success. You do have to follow a legendary coach, however, but I really believed in everything I'd heard about the way this place went about its business, and I wanted to be a part of it.
That was it. I mean, I'm the older I get, I'm really, really good at sniffing out BS. It's an acquired skill that I'm not really sure where it came from, but I've gotten really, really good at pointing out phony people. I've been fooled like everybody else, and I still will be.
It's the wise old man in you.
It's the wise old man in me. I'm 30 now. I'm good at this stuff. But I mean, that's one thing that I think I've gotten a pretty good grasp on. Now, I don't think I'm perfect. Somebody's going to pull the wool over my eyes again in the future. It's going to happen. But you talk to that guy for 10 minutes, and Jeff Calkins, who will join us in 20 minutes, will tell you the exact same thing. He's covered Justin Fuente for the past 4 years. That's a genuine guy right there. And it may or may not manifest itself into 10, 11 win seasons and more ACC championships and national championship game appearances. I don't know. It's a genuine guy.
We'll speculate about how he's going to do on the field for the next year now, but at least from, and you said this to start it off, man, he commanded that room, and he was funny. He had a good sense of humor, you know, introducing his wife Jenny and their children. It was, he's a really, seems like a great guy.
He does.
He's been very easy to interact with.
Agreed. Now, he also opened up his presser this morning talking about Coach Beamer and the influence on the program and on him and their meeting in his office and what that was like for him to sort of have that baton passing type of moment in private with the Hall of Famer Frank Beamer, and this is what he had to say.
I want to thank Coach Beamer. I want to thank Coach Beamer for sharing his time with me yesterday. You know, I went in to go meet with him. I met him one time before for just a few moments, very briefly. And I went in to meet with him yesterday. And, you know, I walk into his office, and he's very welcoming and humble. And he's got on the side all these Coach of the Year awards. You know, not conference Coach of the Year awards, but national Coach of the Year awards. The Bear Bryant Coach of the Year award. And then also coupled with all this outpouring of support as he's going through his last season and announced his retirement. So he's got all sorts of trinkets that fans and everything, people have sent him. And I felt like in some aspect, he was trying to make me feel more comfortable. It was a little bit intimidating to walk into his office and visit with him. And I felt like he was almost trying to hide those national awards from me, kind of. In order to make me feel more comfortable with him. And we got to visiting, and Murray State came up, and we know Coach used to coach there, and I graduated from Murray State. And he said, "Justin, let me show you something." And he hopped up, and he kind of fumbled through, you know, all these awards that as a coach, you could only hope to one day be recognized for your work. And he fumbles through, and he pulls out this plaque, and it's his Murray State Hall of Fame plaque. And he says, "Justin, I'm sure you probably got one of these." And I didn't have the heart to tell him that, no, I didn't have one of those either.
That's what I'm talking about. It's just the guy is great in the room. And you wouldn't know it. You hear some things about he's not the most accessible coach to the media and doesn't exactly love us out here in the media. But honestly, how many of you really do? But he's great, man. He's great in the room. He's great in the podium. We got more clips like that to play for you, a couple more throughout the show. We will take a break, though. We'll come back. We'll take your phone calls. How do you feel about the coach? How do you feel about your new guy, Tech fans? And even non-Tech fans, how do you feel about the guy? There are fans out there at UVA. They're now searching for a new coach. South Carolina fans, Miami fans, what are you looking for in your new guy? You can hit us up about that today as well. 639-4900, the Phillips Real Estate Hotline. Jeff Calkins of the Memphis Commercial Appeal coming up at 435. 505, Chip Patterson of CBSSports.com. And 535, the voice of the Hokies, John Lazor. Keep it locked. The Super Sports 101.7.
Hey, this is John Rothstein from CBS Sports, and you're listening to The Clubhouse with Kyle Bailey.
Oh. Welcome back to the clubhouse. Hit us up, guys. 639-4900, the Phillips Real Estate Hotline. The Hokies got a new head coach, Justin Fuente, this morning introduced at a press conference in the Merriman Athletic Building. Danny and I were there live with pretty much everyone else in the media, supporters, boosters, administrators, players, coaches, folks asking about the defensive staff. Bud Foster will, in fact, be retained. That's been out for a while now. Both defensive line coach Charlie Wiles and secondary coach Torian Gray were in attendance this morning. There has been no official word on their job status, but I have heard it's safe to assume they will be back with Bud Foster next season. Those appear to be, at least at present time, the only two staffers back next season. Things could change. Things are fluid. But I would expect an overhaul on the offensive side and the defensive side, the return of Bud Foster, Charlie Wiles, and Torian Gray. From that point forward, it's anyone's guess. We did meet a couple of assistants this morning, James Shabist and Holloman Wiggins,
yes.
A couple of really, really good guys who are going to be there with Justin Fuente. Shabist is going to be coaching special teams and tight ends to the best of our knowledge, and Holloman Wiggins is the current was the wide receivers coach at Memphis. He did tell us this morning he's not entirely sure which position he'll be coaching at this point, just that he knows he's an assistant football coach now at Virginia Tech. So Fuente talked about not wanting to gut the Memphis staff while they're in the midst of bowl preparations and a bowl game to be played. So I would imagine the finalization of his coaching staff will come together in pieces as things go along and will not really truly be finalized until close to or even after Memphis's bowl game. So
I'm certain he'll pull a couple more guys from Memphis, but right now he's laying the foundation. I'd imagine Holloman and, you know, those are two of his go-to guys, you know, much like Buzz Williams bringing in Isaac Chu. But the important thing right there is, I think, Bud Foster coming back. I mean, how big is that? And especially coming back with we would assume Torian Gray and Charlie Wiles. I mean, this defense has been so good for so long, and there's been a lot of injuries this year that have kind of hampered the success of the team. But the expectations were probably a little bit unrealistic at the beginning of the season, and doesn't take away from everything that Bud Foster's done in building the Virginia Tech program and what he can still do. I think he's got plenty of football left in him to win a national championship, quite honestly, and those are lofty expectations. But his defense has been good enough to do that for some time now, and coupling it with Justin Fuente's offense certainly is going to help that.
Yeah, no question. And speaking of Bud Foster as someone who's sticking around, he made it clear that he would have liked to have been the head coach at Virginia Tech. He had support in that endeavor, but it was unlikely that it was going to happen. We had a very unique opportunity this morning, those of us in the media, about a dozen of us, to sit down with Justin Fuente, then with Whit Babcock, and then with Bud Foster. And when talking to Whit Babcock, he was asked about Bud Foster's candidacy for this job, and he told us straight up that he told Bud Foster straight up that he would not be a candidate for this job, and that he respected him too much to give him just a token interview. And that's pretty much the way that went down. And then when Bud Foster was asked to fly down to wherever it was, we think it was Charlotte, but to fly down to wherever he was to have a meeting with Justin Fuente, that he was asked to get on a plane to go to this meeting. He knew what the meeting was about, but had no idea who he was meeting with until he was halfway there. Now, they have that shared Murray State background, both played there, and they seem to get along extremely well. Justin Fuente's defense at Memphis was atrocious this season. All due respect to his current defensive coordinator, but he probably could have used an upgrade anyway. And Babcock said he did not make this a requirement. He did not make it a requirement for Fuente or any other head coaching candidate to keep Bud Foster on staff. But it's the obvious question that I raised, that you raised, that we all talked about over the past couple of weeks. If you're a new head coach, unless you're bringing with you a respected, accomplished defensive coordinator who's got a big-time resume, why would you not look at keeping the best defensive coordinator in the country on your staff? And that's what it really boiled down to. So Bud Foster's sticking around. It looks like Charlie Wiles and Torian Gray will do the same, and that's a tremendous thing. On paper, the marriage of Fuente's offense and Bud Foster's defense could mean a lot of really good things for this program over the next couple of seasons. Let's go to the Phillips Real Estate Hotline. Who do we have?
Daryl and Floyd.
What's up, Daryl? How are you, buddy?
Hey, Kyle. How you doing, buddy? Doing all right?
Doing well. Good to hear from you.
Hey, it's good. This is good to hear from you, too. Good to listen to the show. It's good to be a Hokie. I just wanted to call, you know, first and foremost, I know I've called and been critical of the offense, you know, and Virginia Tech the last couple of years. But, you know, I respect Frank Beamer more than, you know, just as much as anybody does, and what he's done and what he's meant to the Virginia Tech community, and his loyalty to the program and his influence over the players and what he's done in 29 years here. And, you know, I just want to give a big shout-out for him going out and keeping that streak alive and beating Virginia 12 straight times and getting that big win and going out on a high note and 20, you know, it was 22 consecutive years to a bowl game. It's, you know, it's been, you know, for somebody maybe that, you know, have probably only missed about three or four, you know, home games since I was 5 years old for the last 33 years, you know, it's been a very emotional weekend, you know. Last couple of weeks, you know, when the players carried Frank off, you know, you're crying and you're tearing up. And what he's meant to me, being a football fan, you know, and probably so many other people, and, you know, he's going to be sadly missed.
Right.
But and I love him, and, you know, I wish him the best. And but on that note, you know, Whit Babcock hit it out of the park. Justin Fuente, keeping Bud Foster, I just don't think it could have went any better, any smoother, any faster. And I think, you know, it's just a home run hire, and congrats to Whit Babcock. You know, he's the AD of the century in my book. And, you know, go
right.
Hokies. And, you know, from that press conference, Whit Fuente, you could tell he commanded the room. You could tell he's like going to take no – you know, crap, you know, he's a serious guy, but, you know, I couldn't be happier with the hire, and I wish him the best, and I hope he loves Blacksburg, and go Hokies.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah, speaking of keeping Bud Foster on board, Justin Fuente did address that in the press conference this morning, and this is what he talked about.
I also want to thank Coach Foster for agreeing to stay here and trusting me and the staff that we're gonna put around him. Coach Foster obviously is... I've been a fantastic football coach for a long time. One of the beautiful draws about this opportunity was I believe that hopefully it potentially came with the best defensive coordinator in all of America. And I'm awfully happy that he's agreed to stay on with us and help us continue what Coach Beamer started.
It just makes sense. It just makes sense. Like I said, Memphis's defense is terrible, and he had a great defensive coordinator for a while in Barry Odom, who moved on to be the new defensive coordinator at Missouri under Gary Pinkel. Odom is up for the Missouri job, as we understand it, but he's also been offered the Memphis job, as we understand that as well. So it just made sense for him to come here and to keep arguably the best defensive coordinator in the country, a guy who has who's planted roots here and as he said, raised a family here. Bud Foster wants to be here, and so ideally on paper the marriage of that offense with that defense gives them a chance to compete for a championship right away. I mean, I'm talking about next year right away, because this is not an ordinary circumstance where an outgoing head coach is fired because he's not winning and the talent's not good and the schemes are a mess. No, it's not that. It's 23 consecutive bowl games, 12 over your in-state rival, outgoing Hall of Fame head coach, pieces in place. You got Isaiah Ford that's going to come back. Bucky Hodges probably comes back. Cam Phillips, some young players there. Big-time quarterback in Dwayne Lawson. Motley may or may not stick around. He could choose to stay for a year or transfer. Who knows at that point? But incoming Josh Jackson, player of the year in Ann Arbor, Michigan, right up there. So there's a chance for them to really step in and make some big, big things happen right away. A couple of quick tweets here. Ron's listening up in New Jersey, and he says, Coach Fuente commands the room, which will transfer to the kids. Hell, I want a helmet. I want a helmet up, Justin and Bud. 3-4 in a home run lineup. Ron's excited. And then Matt writes in from Central Virginia. He says, what I like most about this change is I feel like we haven't lost Frank, but rather we've added Fuente to what Frank built. Way to go, Whit. Yeah, that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to put it. And I also like what Ron said about put on a helmet and go out there and play. Remember what Whit Babcock said during the press conference about how when Coach Fuente turned to his wife Jenny and wanted to make sure that it was okay, and she just goes, let's win some ball games, baby. And it reminded him of the Rocky scene.
Yeah.
When Rocky's wife, you know, she's sick and declares, just win, Rock, just win.
Yep.
I loved it.
It was great. It really, really was. So we got a lot of things to get to. We are going to talk UVA and the firing, or the resigning, rather, of Mike London, but let's be honest, it is what it is. UVA is looking for a new head coach. Some rumors swirling about a 33-year-old offensive coordinator from Notre Dame. It's got UVA fans not very happy right now, but UVA has to get its act together. The state of Virginia needs UVA to get its act together, and so we'll talk about that. I mean, strictly in football. Otherwise, tremendous athletic department, but football needs to get its act together, so we'll talk about that. Georgia firing Mark Richt, what that means for these other jobs. A lot of things to get to. 639-4900, the Phillips Real Estate Hotline. 535, the voice of the Hokies, John Lazor. 505, Chip Patterson of CBSSports.com's Eye on College Football. But coming up next, Jeff Calkins of the Memphis Commercial Appeal. He's a columnist. He's a radio host out there on 92.9, and he's covered Justin Fuente the previous 4 years. He's got some great insight. You're not going to want to miss it. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7. Welcome back to the McAdoo Studios. Kyle Bailey, Danny Noakes, Big Monday. Justin Fuente introduced as the new head football coach at Virginia Tech via an introductory press conference this morning. A lot more to get to throughout the show. We'll take your phone calls, your reactions. 888-639-4900, the Phillips Real Estate Hotline. You can also find us on Twitter at the Clubhouse KB and at Danny Noakes. We'll take your emails, kyle.bailey@cumulus.com and danny.noakes@cumulus.com. Later in the show, Chip Patterson of CBSSports.com's Eye on College Football swings by. He visits every Monday, as does the voice of the Hokies, John Lazor. He'll come by at 5:35, Tech Talk Live tonight, over on our sister station and the Hokies flagship station, 105.3 The Bear. Frank Beamer, Buzz Williams in attendance, and a recorded interview with new head coach Justin Fuente. All that tonight between 7 and 8 on 105.3 The Bear. As we mentioned, though, it's time to talk to Jeff Calkins from the Memphis Commercial Appeal. He's also a radio host on 92.9 out there. He's covered the Memphis Tigers for quite some time. He was kind enough to hop on and give us some insight about the Hokies' new head coach, Justin Fuente, and we'll welcome Jeff onto the show right now. Follow him on Twitter at Jeff_Calkins. How are you, sir?
I'm great, thanks.
Well, great to have you here, and you've been covering Justin Fuente and this Memphis program for a couple of years now. It's a wide-open question, I know this, but what kind of coach is the Hokie fan base getting?
Well, I think he's fabulous, and my experience with him was, listen, when they hired him here, I had never heard of him. He was like offensive coordinator at TCU, and, you know, I truly never heard of him. But at the time I did a TV show, and I had him on shortly thereafter for a half an hour TV show. And honestly, at the end of it, I sort of said, I had a little editorial where I said, if this guy can't fix Memphis football, it cannot be fixed. He's not flashy. I've covered flashy coaches like John Calipari here. He's not bombastic. He's not, you know, he is simply, you know, maybe as the smartest, most effective communicator. Just, I think he's fabulous, and I think he's a rock star. He is, and I didn't necessarily think so after his initial press conference in Memphis, where he looked slightly deer in the headlights-ish. But if you spend any amount of time with him, you just can't help but be impressed. He's just really good. He's, and it's not just at, you know, offensive wizardry, where I think he's a great play caller. But I think it's at the whole thing. I just think he's a tremendous leader, really smart. He hires a great staff. At Memphis, and a lot of them will be coming, literally everybody on his staff, except for his receivers coach, had either been a head coach or a coordinator somewhere else, because he has the confidence to hire really smart people around him. And by the way, the receivers coach will be at some point. And let them do their jobs. So I just think he's tremendous. I'll give you the few caveats I might have, but even though there's not serious caveats, but I think you've truly gotten a magnificent hire.
Obviously, he's stepping into a vastly different situation here than he did at Memphis, because you alluded to it, but this is a situation where an outgoing future Hall of Famer, winningest active head coach in college football, is opting to retire. The cupboards aren't bare. They're bowl eligible for the 23rd consecutive year. So it's not an apples-to-apples comparison, but at what point during his start there at Memphis, year one, year two, year three, did it really click for you that they hired the right guy, that he's onto something, and what did that look like? How did it manifest itself?
Well, truly, I honestly thought they had the right guy. As I said, you have one extended conversation with him, and I knew he had the right guy. So then the question was, when does he start winning? There were some tough times. His second year, they had a very popular quarterback named Jacob Karam, who was an internet sensation because he played piano down at St. Jude Children's Hospital, and people loved Jacob Karam. He'd go down and on his free time would play play with sick kids, and people adored him. And he'd actually played the first year under Fuente and done pretty good things. And Fuente replaced him with Paxton Lynch, and Paxton had a rough first year. And so there was a radio campaign by one of my radio colleagues, Free the Piano Man, hashtag Free the Piano Man. And people all over the city were like, well, you know, they're losing game after game after game. Why is they having this big freshman throwing interceptions all over the place when he could be playing the beloved Jacob Karam? And he totally stuck to his guns. He said, nope, this guy is going to be great. And now you look at Paxton Lynch, who truly may be the number one draft pick in the NFL this year. And he wasn't some five-star who became that. He was a guy who had basically not been recruited by anybody except Bethune-Cookman, who he developed into that. Now, he didn't give Paxton his tools. Paxton had the tools, and that's also probably what made him a great quarterback. But it wasn't until his – but even then, it's just like he has conviction. He had the conviction to stick to his guns. He didn't wallow around like Frank Beamer did for his early stage. It didn't require that kind of patience. This is the legendary patience that Virginia Tech showed Frank Beamer. You didn't need that kind of patience with Fuente. But, you know, his third year, I mean, they lost – the year before he got here, they lost to SMU 42-0. Last week, they beat SMU 63-0. That's what he did. And it's and they didn't just beat SMU, they beat Ole Miss. And they beat Ole Miss even though the only place where they had a better player than Ole Miss was a quarterback. That's the only place where they had a better, maybe kicker, better than Ole Miss. And so they beat Ole Miss. He's just a tremendous coach. He's a tremendous play caller. And he's actually a really good dude. The only caveats that I would have is he's not warm and fuzzy media. He's very likable. He has a great integrity. But he's fairly restrictive with his media policy. Not that anyone particularly cares. Like, generally,
well, we do obviously.
Don't care.
Yeah.
But that's one thing. He's not, you know, and I don't know what Virginia Tech has been like, but you know, the only players that were available this year were the players he brought to his Monday luncheon. Period. That's all you could talk to. You know, so. He's not, you know, freshmen don't talk. But he's fairly, you know, he wants to shelter his players. But, again, media care, fans don't. I would not wonder about this. He's never recruited at a big time. He's recruited at TCU, so that's not entirely true. But his recruiting here, he would go find Paxton Lynch and turn it, and he'd be Paxton Lynch. Or he'd find Jackson Dillon, who was a tremendous linebacker, who was just a guy out of Oklahoma, and develop him. So what will he be like when he really has to get, you know, the four stars and five stars? I can't speak to that because I don't know. He can clearly recruit any quarterback he wants now because of Andy Dalton and Paxton Lynch. Like, he won't have any problem recruiting quarterbacks. You will start having, you know, quarterbacks there who can throw the ball around, I'm quite sure. I'll be interested to see. Like, that would be one place. It'll be interesting to see how he handles that. But beyond that, I truly can't think of anything that would even give me the slightest hesitation. I think he's also, I think the loyalty that Virginia Tech has shown Frank Beamer really appeals to him. That's the kind of guy he is. He is salt of the earth, you know, has his three daughters, likes, you know, his small town America. I wrote a column recently about simply the fact that he calls his father every single day on the telephone on the way home from work. That's what he does. On the way home from work, he calls his dad, and his dad keeps him up in the world and whatever. And I just thought that was interesting. Like, who, you know, who calls their father every day and, you know, checks in and whatever. But that is who he is, and it's part of the players love him. I can't say enough good things.
Jeff, the other half of this big news is that Justin Fuente would be retaining defensive coordinator Bud Foster, and Coach Fuente had a lot of great things to say about Bud and what he's done for the Virginia Tech program over the years. So my question for you is, how well do you think Justin Fuente's coaching philosophies will mesh with Bud Foster's defense?
Well, indeed, that would be the – Fuente's defense this year was dreadful. And so I can't imagine, you know, it's not some big burden to be saddled with Bud Foster. And so, but if he wasn't comfortable with it, he wouldn't take the job, very
right.
clearly. You know, if he was not comfortable with it, he has, you know, he's the hottest coach, one of the hottest coaches in America. He can pick his jobs pretty, you know, pretty much. Lots of wonderful jobs open this year. So if that was something that was going to be a problem for him, he would not have done it. I don't think it's going to be any problem at all. His defensive coordinator this year, they had lost eight starters on defense. They also lost their defensive coordinator to Missouri, Barry Odom. And so whether this year's defensive struggles were because of, some say he maybe should not have elevated the defensive coordinator from linebackers coach and that his loyalty sort of got in the way there with the defense. Maybe it was just the fact that they didn't have talent, that they didn't have, you know, that they lost eight starters. But I can't imagine it's a burden to bring on Bud Foster. That seems like a blessing.
All right, Jeff, before we let you go, obviously Memphis, this two-year stretch under Coach Fuente has been historic, and they'd like to keep that rolling. The latest we've heard is that Barry Odom, former D.C. there, then with Missouri, is a top candidate to replace him. What are you hearing on that front, and you know, is this sustainable? Because it does feel like Coach Fuente, you know, it was sort of this groundswell of support and enthusiasm around a program that didn't have that before.
You have to understand, there has never been a coach who's left here to go somewhere else to have a better job, except Frank Pankos in the early 70s went to Vanderbilt, if you want to count that. So it's truly a new phenomenon here to have someone leave without being fired. It has never happened. And so there's obviously, it's mournful when anyone leaves. Of course it is. But everyone here understands it. That's not some, you know, this is some, people understand where Memphis is in the pecking order relative in football compared to Virginia Tech. And, you know, I wrote this morning, you look at lots of places, you look at Cincinnati where they lose, you know, Mark D'Antonio and they just keep rolling. They just keep hiring one great coach after another. And so it's fine. And then there are other places that, you know, get it wrong. And so I think it is incumbent on them to hire the next right coach. And they've clearly offered the job to Barry Odom and they're waiting to see if he's going to get the Missouri job. And I wouldn't be surprised if Odom gets it to Daryl Dickey, who's been a quarterback, running backs coach over there, and one of the under Fuente. He'll stay. He's the interim coach through the bowl game, and he would probably stay and be offensive coordinator, I imagine. And we'll see. The other thing is that I will say this: it's hard to know how much of this, if you want to have any other caveat, how much of this is Paxton Lynch. It so happens that he, you know, we've not seen Fuente win without a quarterback who could be the number one pick in the NFL draft. So I'll be interested, like, and what will Memphis be like next year without a quarterback who could be the number one pick in the NFL draft? Almost certainly will be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. So I think Fuente should get as much credit for Lynch as Lynch gets for Fuente, you know, or more. But that will be an interesting question, is how much, you know, what will this look like without Paxton Lynch? It'll be an interesting question both for Fuente, and it'll be an interesting question here at Memphis.
Jeff, a sincere pleasure to catch up with you. We appreciate the time and all the great insight. Have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you in the future.
Hey, good to be on.
Thank you,
Thanks
Jeff.
Thanks for having me, and good luck over there.
No doubt. Jeff Calkins, columnist, the Commercial Appeal in Memphis. He's also the host of the Jeff Calkins Show out there on 92.9 FM, and we certainly appreciate a bit of his time today. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Chip Patterson of CBSSports.com's Eye on College Football at 5:05. At 5:35, we will chat with John Lazor, the voice of the Hokies. Big day in Southwest Virginia and all around college football. Plenty more to get to. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.
EBU Redford.
Hi, this is Shane Beamer, running back coach for the Virginia Tech Hokies. You're listening to The Clubhouse with Kyle Bailey.
Welcome back to The Clubhouse. Kyle Bailey, Danny Noakes, Chris Barnhart, hit us up. We're not wasting any time today. This is one of those days we need 5 hours for a show. We just simply don't have it, so we'll do our best in a two-hour show. Hour one's been great. Great phone calls, great tweets, great emails. I think I got some more of those to read coming up pretty shortly. The thing is, Justin Fuente on paper is a tremendous hire. As of right now, the early running, Virginia Tech has out-hired everybody else in the country. Tom Herman, it looks like, is not leaving Houston. He's going to stay put at Houston. It sounds like Kirby Smart's going to be Georgia's guy. Clay Helton, the interim head coach at USC West. Pat Hayden just signed him to a 5-year deal, and USC fans want to burn the Coliseum down. They're not happy at all right now,
and I don't understand that, because when you started out with such a
Because when you're USC and you're LA, you're that high profile, you get that sense of entitlement. They think they should have Chip Kelly with Bill O'Brien as an offensive coordinator and the ghost of Buddy Ryan as the defensive coordinator. I mean, that's what they think they're entitled to.
Sure, and I get it. Sure. You want a high profile guy, you want a guy that's gonna come in and establish a long run of consistent success. But still, you're playing for the Pac-12 championship.
I know.
After your coach was let go because he was an alcoholic? I don't understand how you could have asked for a better season if you're USC.
Helton stepped into a terrible situation.
Yeah.
And has done well, I think. So, I mean, would I be thrilled if I was a USC fan? I can't say that. But to be as upset as they are, I think it's a little bit over the top. Anyway, UVA, I sat 7 feet from Mike London on Saturday after Tech beat him for the 12th straight time. At that point, Mike, we knew that Mike London knew that he was finished. We all knew that. Mike London had to choke back some tears once or twice during that. It was a very unique situation. I won't forget being there. We're going to address this again throughout the show, but again, today's mostly about Justin Fuente and the Hokies, as it should be. UVA's got to figure it out. UVA's got to make a hire here. And Doug Dowdy of the Roanoke Times says it's going to be Mike Sanford Jr. of Notre Dame, or at least he's got a strong hunch that it will be. And I heard the same from a lot of other folks. Mike Sanford may go on to be a Hall of Fame head coach, but UVA cannot make that hire. And if they do, I'll be stunned. I don't know where they go. I know Mack Brown wants it. Mark Richt's out there now. I don't think Dan Mullen goes, but he's out there to talk to. UVA has to make a hire that shows commitment of some kind. And the fan base needs to see that. And the state of Virginia needs that. I mean, look, I'll be the first one to tell you, it's much better when those games are competitive, and they were Saturday. They were competitive, but not in a good way. It was a punting fest.
Yeah,
it was awful. And the state of Virginia needs Virginia football to get its act together, and it starts with making a competent head coaching hire. And just the thought of hiring Mike Sanford Jr. I'm not a Cavalier, don't really care who they hire, but the thing about it is, there's no way you can convince yourself that Mike Sanford Jr. is the guy. Do you really believe that John Oliver and Craig Littlepage are that much smarter than everybody else, that they've identified Mike Sanford Jr. as UVA's next Hall of Fame head football coach when nobody else is? Come on now. They got to make a good hire here. All right, hour two's up next. We'll lead it off with Chip Patterson of CBSSports.com's Eye on College Football. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.
Jumbo check.